Intelligence community leaders say they want industry to have a much clearer view of where they're headed when it comes to science and technology. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence recently published a roadmap of its documented needs for future technology. It's only available to vendors who have the appropriate security clearances, but James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, says it's been well received so far. He talked about it on AFCEA Answers with host Max Kakis.
We lay out in there exactly what our documented needs are for technology in the future. And so we're making this available to industry. We've gotten some great responses from it. The thing I like about this is that this is a very specific articulation of what our needs and requirements are. Moreover, another segment of industry that we try to reach out to are those who aren't, if I can use the phrase, in the cloister, who don't have classified facilities or cleared people, but who have great technology to offer, and so we do outreach to them as well. And so I think many things in the analytic arena. Obviously, a challenge for us these days is bulk data and trying to reduce our dependence on it. So things that lead to exquisite analytics, I'll call it, that would obviate the need for large bulk data acquisitions. Mm-hmm. So that's big. Obviously, future computing. A major emphasis for me is what's called ISITE, the Intelligence Community IT Enterprise, which is first time we're moving towards a single IT enterprise for the entire IC, something we have talked about for years and never done until now because we have to. And that will have the advantage of both better integration, which is a big deal to me, as well as promoting security. The bumper sticker mantra is tag the data, tag the people. Mm-hmm. And so we have a better way of consistently and comprehensively tracking data and those with whom that data is shared. So those are kind of in the technology arena the areas that I'm kind of focusing on.
Where are we with the process of getting to ISITE?
Well, we're well into it. We had IOC this past summer, and now we are one of the hallmarks of the ISITE approach has been where each of the major components in the intelligence community are responsible for providing services to everyone else. Now, this is a new paradigm for us, where we have to be genuinely mutually dependent. And, of course, that's a big culture change, big change in our business practice. And so we're going through the challenges when you're well into a transition like this. This is a pretty profound change for us. But I'm pretty comfortable that we're making headway. Agencies have, stepped up to this. We're in the mode now of developing a business plan on how we sort of compensate each other for the services that each component is rendering. But I think this is crucial for the intelligence community. It will take integration to the next level.
And I was going to say it seems to hark back to what we discussed in the previous program, where integration was one of the top priorities that you have in terms of making all of these agencies work together well. Has it been really that much of a challenge, or is it working as well as you can expect?
Certainly it has. We're well past the euphoria stage of what a great idea this is, and now into the hard work, grunt work of actually making this, making it work. But I believe that with respect to your previous question about progress and integration, I think for the most part we have squeezed about all the blood out of the current IT turnip, if I can stretch a metaphor, that we possibly can in terms of integration. And to take it to the next level, to truly integrate, we're going to have to change the IT enterprise. Mm-hmm. We built up a whole body of policies, culture, standards, and practices based on having a confederation of collaborative but not integrated IT enterprises. So we need to move out of that paradigm and into one where it's truly integrated.
It's James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, appearing on today's edition of FCA Answers. He and host Max Kakis also discussed the intelligence community's progress towards speedier security clearances and some of the trade-offs it's made in exchange for that speed.
The Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act has a provision in it which required very strict timelines on when clearances, initial clearances, had to be completed, and this was a standard set across the government. Mm-hmm. And this, and we had to achieve, 60 days for investigation. Right. On the average, the 90% of the fastest cases in 60 days, which was achieved in accord with the IRTPA stipulation within 5 years. So 2009, we achieved that. We also all ran to that soccer ball. In other words, getting clearances done in 60 days, mm-hmm. and in my view, may have compromised on the quality of those clearances. Mm-hmm. So because of, you know, the traumas we've had, to include Mr. Snowden, we are going to a different system of what's called continuous evaluation, which, as the name implies, it means using certain key parameters to tip and cue where there may be anomalous behavior in an employee. That, paired with the enhancements we're making to insider threat detection, so we have a better handle consistently on monitoring the electronic behavior of employees while they're on the job. So those two thrusts, if you will, coming together in improving our security posture. Mm-hmm. That all said, though, our system, even with these enhancements, is still based on personal trust. And so we've had egregious violations of this personal trust in the past. We have a couple we're dealing with right now, and we will have them in the future. That's just human nature. But what we can do, so we can't guarantee prevention of another series of revelations like we've had. Mm-hmm. What we can do, though, is ensure that we detect these much earlier in the process so that we can stop the hemorrhage in much shorter time than we've been able to in the past.
That's James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, speaking with Max Kakis on the latest edition of AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio. You can hear the full discussion at federalnewsradio.com.